This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, episode 37. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter, infectionpodcast.com. Ibs, the website. He's back again. I should fire him. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I had the episode number right, I thought.
No, it was 36. Hey, Brian, okay. What's going on?
Not much. If you want to go ahead and get a hold of me on the internet, you can go to biteoftech.com. That's B-I-T-E of tech.com. Or you can go to google.com/+ Brian Aldridge. Of course, that's with an I as well. Next best thing would be go to infectionpodcast.com, contact Nick and I through there, and of course, join our Steam group. We are almost at 300 members.
Ooh-wee. So,
yeah, we're just about there on the Steam group. I don't know what that gives us, but
by,
three away.
Wow. Okay. Good. Hopefully we can do that before the show ends. You know, Brian, I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm a very humble person. As you know, I'm going to just come out and say it. Okay. I was wrong, Brian. I was wrong.
What were you wrong about?
The H1Z1 Invitational. I was totally wrong.
You were like, it's going to be horrible. Something's going to happen. This game is done. I think I remember things like that.
No, and I don't think you were much more enthusiastic about it there, Brian.
I was nervous.
I was like,
it could go really well.
I mean, maybe. Who knows? I was wrong. You know, the game... For everybody that's watching live right now and is really a hardcore fan of H1Z1, we did a post show directly after the H1Z1 2015 Invitational, and that's on our YouTube channel. It's got over 1,000 views. And if you're really into H1Z1, I would recommend checking out that after show, because that was literally the after show. It was like this, we didn't even finish watching the stream, and then we were on to the after show. So check that out. But we're going to cover the H1Z1 Invitational today. Yep. And I'm going to just keep saying it. I was wrong. I was straight up wrong. I thought this was going to be...
A disaster.
I mean, look at the track record of what we've... Brian, the Invitational was Saturday. Thursday, mm-hmm. They took the servers down. And they're like, oh, servers are back up. And then there was like another sheet that was like, uh-oh, something's causing the servers from not going back up. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like... They're doing this event in 2 days, and they can't even get the servers to restart. So, I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing, though, because I don't know if you said it on the stream, but you said it to me at least. Man, if this thing just totally goes horribly wrong and there's just huge glitches on the stream and all this, you were like, that's the end of H1Z1.
Yeah, I said that right on the show. I mean, okay. This was, in my opinion, a pretty ballsy move by Daybreak. Obviously, they were not running on the regular game, because there was stuff in the game that is not in the game now, so they must have been tweaking the live game, and they must have had a server on site at TwitchCon running this event, because there was lots of stuff in the game that's not actually in the game.
I don't know how much you're going to cover. I don't have those things in the show notes, but I'm not sure what your highlights cover, but they had a thing where on the side it listed all the different players so they could quickly jump and view player to player. And it would show the health bars, which would be a nice thing in your group BRs. I guess after you die, they have that on the left. This mm-hmm. was a different view showing you now, who was alive and who was dead.
And the other really cool thing, Brian, I'm showing it on screen right now, was the dynamic map, which had everybody's little dots.
Moving around, which still would be really good.
And what direction they were facing, too. There was like a little appendage on the dot showing what direction they were. This was really cool.
Being a local server, this would be pretty real time.
There was like a 3-second delay.
If their worry with this on the actual real live servers would be maybe the extra amount of lag it could create or bandwidth. I mean, the internet, people have a ton of bandwidth.
But not even with that, the server already knows what your location is. So all it has to do.
Supposed to.
Well, Yeah, allegedly it has your location. Yeah. But if it already has your location,
send it to those extra people in your group.
Exactly.
I mean, the only thing that's really.
And you know where the player location is too, because you're getting that back from the server. So I don't think it costs any more resources to do that. You already know the player's X, Y, and Z coordinates.
RKD7 says it reminds him of the Harry Potter map, mystery managed.
I don't watch Harry Potter.
Oh my goodness! You know, you can't give me a hard time about not.
I've never read a Harry Potter book. I've
not
never done
playing Legend of Zelda.
Oh yeah, all right. Let's talk about that. Brian has never played Zelda. He calls himself a gamer.
I didn't have it.
Brian,
the first Nintendo I got was the Super Nintendo.
Brian, I got the gold card. You think I was born when the Nintendo Entertainment System came out?
He called me on it. I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good. Mystery managed is when it's done, correct? Nick won't know.
No, I have no clue.
Mischief managed. Yeah. Harry Potter rage directed at Nick and Infection. See, there you go. I get rage for not having played some early Nintendo games, and you're gonna
early Nintendo games. Like it was just some like crappy early Nintendo games. Link is the legend. Yes, thank you. So I'm wearing a Zelda shirt, and that's how this came up. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this with you. I don't even remember where we were. The dynamic map. That was cool. That should definitely be something that's in the game when you play a 5-man BR. That would make splitting up a little bit easier. Because right now, if you split up with your group, it's a, hey, Brian, where you at? Hey, Falcon, where you at? Hey, Joe, where are you? Like, if you had that map, you would be able to see where your players were. And I think that would be good.
Yeah. And it's there. Like, the code's there.
Yeah, obviously.
So it's not like they can say, oh, it's something we're working on. I don't know how hard that would be to take it from whatever environment they were in. I mean, the code's all there. They should be able to implement it.
Yeah, we know how well that works when they copy and paste code from one thing to another.
So that was one of the big changes.
I want to get your opinions on how you think the H1Z1 Invitational went.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, so initially, and I kind of mentioned this in our post-broadcast, but initially I was kind of nervous because the first shots that they did were in the what we call death cabins, right? Is that what you remember? You go to death cabins, and they have all those buildings and those small rooms, and those camera guys are just kind of getting everything figured out and trying to swing around and stay in the room without clipping out of it. So I was kind of nervous. I was like, oh, man.
Well,
kind of a shaky start. I hope the whole thing isn't like this.
Yeah. So let's talk. Well, so we got to talk about that first. The cameras. I was under the assumption, Brian, and I think you maybe were too, that the cameras were going to be like HDMI outputs of the players' computers.
You were going to be jumping from that player's perspective.
Yeah, I would have imagined like a video matrix with like, 60 computers into it, all wired into some hardware switcher where they could go from computer from Summit to Lyric to whoever else. That was not the case. They had three spectator crows, right? Because that was the rumor. They had three crows that were just free roam cameras. It's really hard to get.
And actually have a tweet. I mean, we can towards the end show notes. If you jump up, those are
We can show that picture now.
So this was spectator row, the shots on four. It says shots on four, and I wasn't sure if these are all the guys that were jumping from perspective to perspective. I think these were those guys handling those shots.
Yes, these were the spectator camera people.
So it looks like there's five people.
Yeah, there's five with Clegg. That's Clegg with his director headset on, giving cues to, I would imagine, the other camera people.
He's probably sitting there watching each of the guys' perspectives and then saying, hey, okay, jump to this guy, trying to get an idea of which one would be the best to view. And these guys individually are having to jump between players just to try to figure out, all right, what's worth watching.
JC Dart in chat is saying that they did have Clegg's computer was in the start area with that dynamic map open. So from time to time.
So that was that computer. Yeah.
The map zoomed in, which was really cool, which you don't have on BR right now. The map they obviously had the ability to hone in on the zone. And it looked pretty detailed. Like that would be cool, especially with a dynamic updating map. That was really cool. So the cam work was a little, I did highlights for game one and game two, and I missed in the game two, I missed like the last seven kills because the camera work, it just wasn't on camera. It straight up wasn't there. And Brian, I don't know if you've ever done any video production, but I did some stuff with my high school last year before I graduated. And, but you think, oh, look at these schmucks, can't switch from camera to camera. It's really, like I can kind of give them some crap, but it's not easy. Like, there's so much, there are so many things going on.
Well, they definitely would have learned something from this one, because realistically, this is their first one they've done. And by the next time that they do this, they're going to have those perspective cameras as well, because that's code that they said they're working on. That's what we'll actually see is player perspectives after death in a group VR. So imagine if they could not always having to do this over the shoulder flying cam, which can kind of look shaky and overshot, or you know, they're not quite aiming at the right place sometimes. If it gets to a situation where someone's in a little closed area and there's a firefight going on, I'm sure in the next one they'll be able to say, all right, switch to that player perspective so that you can see exactly what the player is seeing.
And
you know, and the player's going to be making his own shot be correct because he's trying to see what's going on.
Now, in some respects, I think having the I'm going to call it a third-person camera because that's essentially what it was, the free-roam third-person camera, is really useful. Because there are some gunfights where, I mean, Brian, you've been killed in H1Z1 before, and you're like, where did I just get shot from? Like, how did somebody shoot me? I feel like you'd see a lot of that if it was only first person, or third person, but having that free roam mode for some kills when people were behind trees, for example, were really useful. Because you would get this, like, weird side perspective where you could see, you know, one person hopping out from the tree, taking some shots, and the other person, that worked out pretty well.
Now, one thing that I think they commented during the actual commentary of this was when Co-Carnage and someone else was having that fist fight.
Yeah, totally.
And they switched to it too late.
They switched
to him dropping and, you know, a person dying. I think it was Co-Carnage that died in that fist
fight. No. Co-Carnage killed a giant waffle. That was
okay. Was it that the waffle died?
Totally missed it. Yeah. And what I don't understand about that was, first of all, the HUD on the right hand side of the screen blinked yellow when somebody was taking damage. And Brian, you've punched people to death before in H1Z1.
Takes a little while.
Yeah, it's not like it's not instant. So, I mean, they should have had ISO recordings on those computers so they could have done replays. I don't know what limitations were H1Z1.
I just don't think production wise.
This was Twitch was producing this. I mean, Twitch did some pretty insane stuff during TwitchCon. They could have done that.
But compared to, I don't know.
Slow-mo instant replays would have been cool.
I don't think that they were to that point yet. If they get this down to where it's a science.
Yeah, but I think it was all Twitch's equipment. I mean, that's what I'm coming. Like, Twitch was doing the video production.
Guys from Daybreak were running everything.
They were running the cameras, but the video switching was Twitch producers.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the one that it was on their channel. They were streaming everything.
Someone in chat, Robotred, he's like, didn't Soda drop his compass at some point too? So there was a player, Soda, who for some reason, I think this is in the second game, he dropped his compass.
Yeah, and had no clue where he was.
So he shot the smoke because he had no clue where he was.
Yeah, but Soda did something very interesting in that second game, and we've got highlights for it. Do you want to jump into that now,
let's go ahead and go into that because we can. A lot of the stuff in our show notes, we can go in any order.
So this is game one H1Z1 highlights. I'm going to take these and upload them to YouTube. Now, note, the quality is not great on these. As of we're recording the show on Tuesday, they have not uploaded the recording yet. I want to thank Hanny for somehow managing to rip the Twitch recording. Which no tool lets you do more than 15 minutes now. So I have no clue how we did that.
There is a way to do it because for when we kidnapped Summit,
it only does 15 minute blocks though.
No, that was a 10 hour video that I had to download and then rip out the part that we were in.
So, Hanny, I wrote a comment on Reddit,
however long it was.
And I called Hanny the real MVP because I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to edit this. So the quality isn't the greatest.
It is a pain to do.
The quality is not great, but, without further ado, here is,
say ado.
What?
Did you say or do?
No, I don't know. What did I say?
I think you said without further or do.
Without further or do. Okay. Here's the game on highlights.
Get good angles, of course, and Soda Poppin just waiting. He does have a gun. Pistol. I think I just saw someone in there. Who's going to be the first one to die? Soda Poppin killed by Giant Bomb.
It is as well. So straight away.
Ninja has killed Summit.
Get the shot into the glass doing some damage. Does he manage to take him down?
I don't.
He had a friend.
What happened? Get PJ. PJ. Chicken Tavern. Miss Vixen. 1v1. And it.
All the way in the middle of, like, camp.
Death coming in right now. Ninja. He's in trouble. He's got his back turned. He's going to manage to pop around. But Waffle gets taken out. Phantom.
Damage meanwhile on the top of the hill.
Oh, battle up top. Without a doubt.
There's another one coming
the
in.
Burning man. The
no
burning
choice.
Man. And he's dead.
He goes down.
Moe's going to get run down here.
Nope.
He's going to try to take down the car.
This is not
Oh, my God. See you later.
Active. Sack.
Somehow manages to miss every round of that magazine.
Right, Hawkins has been taken down by... Are they going to go for it?
Who's
are they
going to
go
number
for
11?
It? We got to give a chicken. It's straight.
What?
CDN.
Are they like...
Into some really close quarters battle.
Snap trick has killed Tim.
He's going to go from his alone exchange. Sexy Hexy's going to pop out. He's going to go
for the nade down. CDN. Car,
so close. CDN trying to get him down. He's trying to get him close to shotgun range.
CDN. But there is going to be...
Trick 2G's on the move. He's coming around the side. Sticky Rice is very low on health here. He's going to get run down again. Ninja's going to come around.
Oh my God.
Trick 2G, how is he alive right now?
I don't know.
Sticky Rice goes down.
What?
That's it. It's
what?
Trick 2G. Two people stand. Ninja and Trick 2G. Who
is
going to come out on
this
top of this one?
Ninja, Trick.
No time.
One against another. Fire. Shots fired. And that's been an early
Ninja. Ninja.
And there we go. That was game one highlights. Now, I want to comment quick. Actually, let's go. I've got the leaderboards here for the first game. So just the top five in the first game, which I'll cover up. So Mo came in fifth place. CDN the third came in fourth. Sticky Rice came in third. Trick 2G in second. And then Ninja was our winner in the first match there. Got some comments in the chat, and I was kind of feeling this myself. Besides Jimmy, these commentators had zero clue. Like, they had never looked at H1Z1 before.
Yeah.
Because they were blown away with, like, oh my God, how is this person in the gas? Like, what is happening here? How are you taking damage in the gas? They didn't have any experience in the game besides Jimmy for the most part. So, but it was good that they had real shoutcasters doing the event, because, I mean, if it was just like three Daybreak guys, like, it would have been uncomfortable. Nothing against the guys at Daybreak, but like, you may think like, oh, shoutcasting like an MLG tournament is easy. Like, it's not. It's really not. You have to keep talking. There's no dead point. You have to keep talking.
Well, so two of them were pretty much professionals. And actually, we can jump in because I do have a thing that goes over about each of these invitational hosts.
Yeah.
So one thing, there is that first link that I made, and that's just a picture of all three. Jimmy was in the middle, and then we had Follow Demand, I think is how we pronounce it, but that's Lay Smith. And then there was Alex Menendez, Golden Boy for the win, or FTW. Golden Boy and Lay were both pretty much esport commentators or professional broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy was a Daybreak employee who's now media partnerships manager at Twitch.
Yes.
He does stream, but he's not a professional. This isn't what he does for a living.
No, and Golden Boy shoutcasts a lot of the COD events for MLG and ESL. He is a professional esports commentator. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's got a really good voice. He keeps it. It was fun. I mean, they were fun commentators. They were really fun. You know, them maybe lacking the game a little bit. I mean, take it.
It's
going
to be hard to find somebody that is into the game as we are.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is a professional commentator like this.
Exactly. I for the most part, I don't know why everybody was giving the commentator so much crap. But the commentating was good. was good. They made it interesting. They made it funny. There was a lot of, oh my God. Like, you know, like a typical, esports event.
There was a lot of yelling. Yeah, there was that, that token, like yelling at the beginning. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. And then you hear the crowd screaming. Now, something that was interesting, I was under the assumption that all of the players were going to be on the main stage. And then once I realized that, so the players played in the Intel, it was like the Intel Gaming Lab, I think, at TwitchCon. And Brian, you had a picture in here, trying to find it, of the invitational rules. Do you want to read these rules? Because I thought these were pretty funny.
Yeah, and they didn't put any of this stuff out that I saw beforehand, but this is something they had printed off and they put inside of the actual playing area. So first of all, no food or drink.
Of course.
Don't want to ruin the equipment, right? Do not modify any files. So if there's special things you're doing to take away shadows or, you know, whatever you're doing to make it so maybe see blocks at a distance, none of that. Do not connect any device to the computers. They don't want anybody trying to change anything or do their
own
charge
report. Your iPhone.
Yeah, no charging your iPhone on there. Do not download and or install any software. Pretty standard rule. Do not touch opponents, which... whatever.
Don't punch anybody in the face after you get wrecked.
Yeah, no, yeah, that'd be that reaction of just slamming the guy in the shoulder. after he shoots you. Do not touch opponents' computers.
Can't open their CD drive like while they're trying to play.
Yeah, just pushing buttons to make them move around. No teaming or colluding. That was one that was announced before.
That was a big one.
And I didn't seem to see any of that. You see people that were kind of next to each other.
Not at all.
That they were avoiding not shooting. It's just there was a third person there or something else was happening and they started focusing on who they thought was the biggest threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow all instructions from tournament officials at all times, now, which is they cover anything, do whatever we say, even if we forgot to put it down here.
Now, I was really surprised there was no teaming. These guys, for the most... You know, okay, here's one other thing. They really should have made the people use their handles.
In game,
because Summits was in the pit. Honestly, it made the commentators look like morons. But
it wasn't totally their fault, though.
No, it wasn't. They should. I mean, like in Call of Duty,
something that Daybreak really should have printed out and say, "All right, here's their stream name.
Yeah.
Right. Here is their in-game name that they generally play with, or this is the in-game name that they have chosen for this event."
They should have just made it their name. I mean, in the Call of Duty tournaments. This was like a while ago. They used to, like, people just used to have, like, random names. Like, Mob Punisher 32. When that wasn't, and they were calling it, and they're like, you know, who is this person? And then now MLG regulates names, and it's like, you know, Clayster and everybody. They regulate names because there were a few names, and the one name was Grimms, right?
What
was his name? I don't even remember what his in-game name was.
Pooh Never Wins.
Yeah, Pooh Never Wins.
Teases that when he does BRs, right? Mm-hmm. But only his hardcore fans or people that really watch him are going to know this.
And not the commentators, I can tell you that much.
Who aren't, you know, sitting there watching all, 30 people's streams.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that it's going to be due diligence by Daybreak to say, or just even have a form so that Daybreak can print something out right before, say, and just a little cheat sheet up there. All right, this one is this character, so that when you look at that name in game, there's nothing that guarantees that you're going to match that up with a player because they're using random, you know, in the pit, you would assume, all right, that's such a big, you know, inside joke.
Exactly.
Inside of here that most people will know that. But there's a lot of other ones that you're like, okay, who is that player?
For example, Pooh Never Wins. I had zero clue who that was throughout the entire event until
messaged me during the broadcast. He's like, that is, you know, the commentators have it wrong. That's actually Mr. Grimms.
Yeah. So that was kind of an issue. But for the most part, I mean, it really wasn't the end of the world. But that's definitely I've said this before.
That's one of those live and learn situations.
Exactly.
Maybe even make them go by the popular name that they are.
I agree. It should go by their Twitch handle. I mean, that makes it, or their Twitter. I mean, just something to identify them. There were a few names where honestly, I had no clue who the person was. I don't watch a whole lot of H1Z1 streamers, to be perfectly honest with you. So there's just a few names where I'm like, you know, who is that? And then there are other people that were fine. Like Solid FPS, like that was no problem.
So, Carnage, I don't think he had a weird name. Nope. CD and the Third didn't have, I mean, it was, they were using their standard names.
Yeah. Titters. That was like, that was another name. That's I don't remember what her Twitch stream is, but that was just another, and I was like, you know, like you would think you would fix that. Right. Yeah. But, and I'm surprised they didn't fix it for game two. I don't know what the issue with that. I guess they didn't really notice it until the second game when the commentators had no clue who won.
Yeah, that now wasn't that game one was the one where Peru Never Wins was way up in the top right of the map.
Yes,
and they were counting them out because the gas seems to be increasing in damage as the game goes on. So the first wave of gas is very weak, and so people looked up and they saw, oh, he's up in the gas. That guy's gone for sure. And so the gas has actually moved in pretty far. I mean, he was in the gas for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, I would say. I'd say probably 5, yeah.
So he goes through and just starts working his way southwest, and nobody really knows who he is, at least not the commentators do. And so they're like, who's this Peru Never Wins guy? He's up in the middle of nowhere. You know, he's going to be dead soon. And so he starts moving, and halfway through the game, all of a sudden, you know, he's starting to kill people, and he's right in the middle of it. So
yeah, that was where the commentators lacked, or some of the commentators besides Jimmy lacked the experience with H1Z1.
Because so many people are used to seeing those final clips where you get in the smoke, you lose 10%. You know, your health is dropping quickly. People in this game, like CD and the Third, are masters of taking advantage of hiding in the gas. Yeah. If you watch CD and the Third stream, that guy is in the gas half the time.
And he mentioned that. They interviewed him after the first game, and they asked, you know, why were you in the gas? And he goes, that's what I do on my stream. He's like, I hug the gap in the gas.
And he knows if he stays a certain amount, you know, he gets tons of first aid kits, and he'll just stay right outside because people can't see you from far range, from behind or from front. And you just kind of come in when you need to, bandage when you need to, and that's his tactic. Now, a lot of these other streamers who have sat there and studied these other ones, they know that that's what he does. But obviously, the commentators haven't seen him enough to know that that's the strategy he was using.
Now, I want to bring up, I feel that the gas was tweaked a little bit at the beginning because
it seemed weaker.
It seemed very weak at the beginning.
Because I've never seen people in the gas for 10 minutes straight, and the health wasn't dropping.
It was very fast. The health was going up. It was not dropping.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get a med kit, but still, I've never been, but I don't generally run in the gas in the beginning of the game. So that's one thing. I don't know.
I tweeted about it, and some people were arguing with me on Twitter. I don't normally die by the, I don't hang out in the gas. So like Brian said, but I could have sworn the gas does more damage at the beginning of the game than it did in the invitation. Or maybe they've tweaked it in game and that's how it actually is. I just felt like it was very weak.
No.
Maybe it wasn't. I have no clue.
Because I have been in gas where the med kit does outpace. And it must be that early on, like, that's why there was no concern by some of these players because they've done this so much before.
I mean,
there's certain players. If you look at Grimms, Grimms plays this game so much compared to a lot of these other streamers. I mean, realistically, if you look at even CDN the Third, Summit, these guys are switching between a decent number of other games. Mm-hmm. CDN the Third plays a decent amount, but Grimms really puts in his time with this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is his, like, main game.
Yeah, so, I mean, he knows exactly, all right, if I'm up here, the gas way down there, obviously no one's going to come and try to kill me. Their way, you know, I mean, he knew going into that. So, I mean, that was a good strategy on his part.
Yeah, we understand how the gas works. I just felt like maybe the gas was like turned down by 50% at the beginning of the game compared to the normal damage. Again, or I could be completely wrong. That was game one. And in that one, the camera shots were like that first camera shot, the first kill.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
That first kill. It was, who was it? I don't remember. Somebody killing somebody right at the beginning in the house, and it was just like, and he's dead. You really couldn't see anything. The second game, they definitely picked up the act a little bit. So do you want to roll into game two highlights here, Brian?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, so they play two games with the same prize pool, or the same prize pool for each game, same contestants. But game two was the exact same thing, same people, and here we go.
Oh, wait a minute. Gobi.
Waffle, whoa. Waffle just got killed by Kokonich with fists. With fists?
Buddy.
Chase here is going to be fine. Fine, get it taken down. Kirby Lama still close to Forsen. Forsen's in that little hut.
No,
he missed the shot.
Clip through the wall there.
Gold glove, please.
Oh, he's only got
window. He's only got a pistol. Gold glove's only got a pistol. Forsen's getting really low. Himself one kill already. He's
going to be Soda Pop.
Gets hit by his own car.
What are you doing, Soda Pop?
Sakriel's got a great advantage now. He's got that rock position, but he hasn't managed to land any shots. Soda Pop, you can see, didn't take any damage.
That was a terrible strategy.
How did any of that work?
Like, they just spotted. Dasmany not even looking. Has no idea. Diesel with the open shots. Switches to the shotgun. Dasmany has to be
down.
Diesel from Dasmany.
Straight wreck.
Sakriel and Soda Pop. And Soda Pop is down.
Road.
He's wasting no time. Jumping out. Going after Trick 2G. The angle.
Tim, he sees him. He sees him. Oh, here we go. On the move. Tim, shots fired.
Oh, he shot a little too early. Hot is
popping around, and that's it. Oh, snap. And that's a huge win.
He's going to take out Alan here. Alan running, trying to get the reload down. Not going to work. Oh, wide open on a hill. Side Syndicate takes down Sexy Hexy.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. John Cena is going down.
This is horrible for
Tina.
Would land them.
I think a console player would have landed those shots. I mean, hit Ninja
Run. Oh, Sai Syndicate taken down.
Summit.
Juggins to come out.
Oh, it's
Mogan taken down. So Jericho actually up to the tree now, so he's not sitting in his bush anymore. The main kill. Lyric on Vic. He's going to get behind the tree.
Lucian ditches immediately. He's ready to take this fight.
Straight for the tree. Summit and Lyric going at it. Who's going to come out on top? Lyric. So close. He sees him. He's going for the bush kill. Sakriel's taken down. I'm a cutie pie. Two League of Legends players. So
Jericho.
Close. Julia takes down Jericho. Coming in. Grimmy Bear on towards Summit. Summit goes down. Solid FPS pops out, though. That's going to be real trouble. It's Grimmy Bear that's taken a lot of damage. He's managed to hop around. He should go for the reload. Go for the nade. Going for the nade on him. Doesn't manage to land it. Grimmy Bear goes down.
Doesn't get it. He's low on health, though. He was taking shots.
Oh, Solid FPS. Josh pops in. Takes the open shots. Solid FPS goes down. He got a nade up. And it's Cutie Pie and Josh OG, the last two remaining here in the H1Z1 Invitational Live.
Game two.
Josh on the move, shotgun shots out of there, and that's it.
Karoon never wins.
And there we go. That's game two. Highlights.
Man.
And our top four in this were Optic, Solid FPS, Josh OG, and then Mr. Grimm's Peru Never Wins with the same prize breakdown. So, Brian, I was wrong. There was one kill in the second game where somebody got out of the car, and it was in the video, and it said they had died from fall damage or something like
they,
that.
Like, fell out of the car.
I think that was either the person bled out. People were saying that was some big glitch. I just think that they were either really low on health and bled out, or the gas got to them, or whatever.
Well,
whatever
if they're moving, that's one thing you got to keep in mind in this game, is if you are moving and you're bleeding out, you cannot bandage until you stop.
Yes, exactly.
So that person may have seen, oh, my health is dropping really quick. I got to either stop or get out of this car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hit E to jump out of the car. And they bled out. I mean, it's kind of hard to see because we don't have the health bar, you know, right there. And it's not easy to see sometimes from the perspective. But that could have been very easily what happened.
Exactly. So that was game two. And then I'll throw right up on screen here. This was these are the top tens from both games.
Now, one thing, here's a quick comment. Someone in chat, Jay Delory, is saying Kokarnage was stuck prone when he died. Remember, he's laying in that camper?
Uh-huh.
Or I was wondering why he was down, because that's a horrible, if you've played this game, whether you're in first person or third person, that's a horrible place to be, is laying down on the ground like that. You can't move. It's it And so I was wondering, maybe he was stuck because I don't know why he would have stayed there.
Yeah. Now, Brian, do we want to announce what's going on next week, or should we just keep that? Should we keep that a secret?
No, you can if you want.
All right. So next week we're going to have Man Pawns, who was a contestant. We saw him in the first highlight reel, getting shot in the bathroom, in one of the residential houses. We'll have him hopefully on the show next week to give his experience and perspective in terms of the Invitational. So I look forward to that next week. We were going to try to get him on there tonight, but some scheduling conflicts came up and that wasn't possible. But, Brian, that was the Invitational. 2015 Invitational. I would imagine, I think there's going to be one next year, right? I mean, the way that this was promoted with the whole year being part of its promotion.
Yep.
It seems like that this would be something.
Do you think it's going to be a once a year thing always done at TwitchCon, or do you think this could turn into its own thing?
It definitely won't turn into its own thing. It's going to have to I feel like it's a negative term saying riding on the coattails, but it's going to be at some other event.
They would have a hard time bringing all these streamers in.
Oh, yes. I mean, it would be
even cost wise.
Yeah, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All of these streamers are already there because of TwitchCon.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it would probably be close to $100,000 to have 60 people there in San Francisco staying, paying for the venue. That would be hundreds of thousands.
Getting there for their food, getting them there. Definitely, it's a good deal for Daybreak.
Yeah, definitely.
Being able to use TwitchCon to get all these streamers together and do this, because it was more of a, all right, hey, we're going to take 2 hours. We're going to do this, out of the streamer's day, and then they can go on and do some of their other events that they're doing.
Yeah. So other than that, That was the Invitational.
Now, I wanted to show there was a statistic that shows overall kind of placing.
Okay.
Because if you look, there was a – let me see which one it was. But it was the positions of the result.
This top 15?
Yeah, this is the top 15 at the Invitational. And this pretty much took their placing and gave it a point score.
Okay.
And so, we see who did well in one game versus another, but this is overall, if you kind of compared their positions in both games, how mm-hmm. they did. Like Ilheim, he did very well, but he didn't do incredibly well in one game. You know, he had it to where he was very consistent in it. He got a decent placing in both, but he didn't get first place for one. So, this was kind of just a quick way to see how they did it. I mean, if you look, I've heard a lot. I was kind of wondering too. Is you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, these the girl players aren't as good as the guys." I mean, look at Kirby Llama; she did very well in this game.
Yeah,
I was very impressed by.
Oh, look at Julia TV too.
Like, yeah, I mean, definitely solid players.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So it's Judd's asking. Those are like a 60-1 point. So for position killed.
So
if you took their position like from 1 to 60 in the game. And if they were if they were in last place, they got 1 point. If they were in first place, they got 60 points.
I got you.
So then you take those two positions, you add them together. The average of placement for Ilheim and for Exec were 103. So, that just shows that they placed maybe not incredibly high in one versus, but they didn't place at the bottom at all.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say. I'm so happy that this event went well.
Yeah.
I really, honestly, God's honest truth, I'm unbelievably excited this event happened. This event went off, for the most part. There was no crashing. I never saw it. Now, it has only been like some players are just getting back like today, or maybe yesterday. So we haven't seen any. Or at least I haven't seen any videos yet of the people's perspectives. But
I think I saw where someone did it, but I haven't got a chance to see it yet. But I think it was Grimms who had his up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a positive show today. What is he watching? Is this the right podcast?
It's okay. Give it 1 week. just give it 1 week. Everything will be fine. So let's talk more about the Invitational. Let's show, I guess, more setup of the Invitational. This was the player area. Brian, which was, like I said, again, inside that, the Intel Gaming Lab, I think is what they called it. And you can pretty much just see just rows of computers with H1Z1 open, the headsets and everything like that. And then our other picture here is the actual
desk of where they were sitting. So you can, could really see their perspective when they're playing the game.
Exactly.
Now this, you can see they have this pretty much a blinder, I guess you could call it, that is making it so one player can't look over and see the screen of another player.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah. So this is what they were playing on. I mean, I would have liked to see, but personally, I would want to play on a bigger monitor. I mean, for me, that monitor would just drive me crazy. Because I'm sure these guys are playing on 30 inch screens.
But that's what? That's a 21 inch monitor?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, probably. It's not bad, but
I mean, it could have been like a 14 inch 4x3.
His eyes are right up against the screen.
Yeah. That would have been bad.
That was the perspective that they were playing from. It was in some side room.
And it was shoutcasted on the main stage. So,
yeah, and they were taking camera views and showing what it looked like.
Exactly. So what else? I mean, other than the bugs, if they were bugs, the one other thing I think I forgot to mention was at one point, like a Jeep disappeared. Or a truck disappeared when somebody was walking by it. I forgot to isolate that clip.
I didn't see that, but you had mentioned that to me, that for some reason it's like it just disappeared out of the shot.
Yeah, and then somebody else mentioned to me, like, hey, did you see that? And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I wasn't just seeing stuff on that. So
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, you got to give props to Daybreak for pulling this off, right?
Yep. And now, okay, let's go over what because before last show, we didn't have the total of the Invitational.
Yes, and now we do.
And so now we have the actual total. Because it was a couple thousand short.
I'll let you announce this, Brian.
All right. So the final prize pool totaled at $173,320, which was, of course, split depending on ranking.
Uh-huh.
So that officially means that we won the Infection prize pool contest.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. We called out $175,000 was our guess for the prize pool and
our combined guess. We have inside knowledge.
Personally, we were really off because Nick and I were so far away from each other. We took half.
I wasn't that far off. I was at 150. You were off.
Yeah, and I said 200,000.
Oh, well, I was closer.
Barely, by a little bit.
It's a numbers game.
So we took half of our guesses, and that was 175,000.
What
so.
We'll do is I'll find some of the old tweets as long as they haven't been deleted. I can't go.
It
over.
Says I lost because we can't go over. So we're doing Price of Right rules here.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I'll find who was ever the closest, and we'll get in touch with them.
Okay.
Honestly, I thought those highlights were going to be like, oh, you know, this will be like 25 minutes. No. It was like an hour an event. It took forever to edit those out. So, and like I said, those will be up on YouTube, and hopefully we can get some likes and stuff on that once that's up on YouTube.
One thing I wanted to do, too, was to show the final pig head because
they
finished the pig head during the last show. We had seen the 3D printed version of it.
Oh, we saw the hat. It wasn't even done. We saw like a mock-up.
It was still being made at the time.
Uh-huh.
And then they took those 3D printed versions. They had a guy who pretty much sanded them down and detailed them. And then they painted them, it looks like.
Yeah, and they're like, it's like a, now these are cool. I said they needed a prize that would look cool.
On the shelf.
This looked cool. Here were the two first place prizes. It's the pig mask with the cigar sticking out of it. That's cool. And before they were printed, they just looked like cheap crap, right?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like plastic.
Yeah, exactly. But these, I mean, they had somebody professionally detail these. I'll take that back, too. I'll take that back.
Are you going to say you're wrong on that one,
too? Maybe I was a little bit wrong, but
Grant Man says I made those. So I'm assuming he's not lying. So someone in chat is the one who actually handmade those.
The detail job is great. So, you know, the 3D printed version, if they didn't color it, would have looked awful. Like, I mean, Brian, have you physically played with something that's 3D printed?
I
Without any like color,
they're hard plastic and there's just one solid color.
Yeah, they don't really look good. But those are good looking prizes. Two people have those on their wall.
Oh, I'm Grant Matt saying he printed them. So I'm Grant Matt in chat is the one who printed them, and then they had somebody who actually carved them out
and detailed them.
Jeff, they're saying, is who painted them,
which came out very well. And then,
if you look, there's actually the Farzenspiel actually put in the chat there a link to
like a build log of
there's the before and the after.
Yeah, and I mean you can see by the first picture, which I'll show right here quickly. If there was no paint on that, it would have looked rough. Like it would have been like ugh. You know, you would have gone home and thrown spray paint all over it because it just looks weird being white. But with the gold color, and it was kind of scuffed up a little bit to make it look like it was kind of like a rustic gold, I'm happy with the show. I still don't like the plaque, which, by the way, everybody got.
Seeing that they had to do all the by hand work, I can understand why they did the plaque for everybody and not the pig's head. Yeah. But as a player, I would have rather had the pig's head as the primary, like, here's what we're giving to everybody for participating.
Yeah.
And then have to.
I mean, they would have had to start preparing last year for the H1Z1 Invitational to do 60 of those.
Yeah.
They did.
Being that they had to hand paint them and really put the details on there, that would have been incredibly time consuming to go through and do that for 60 different ones.
If anybody at Daybreak is listening, I would love one of those pig heads. Just saying.
And they're saying that Greg Spence is the one who made the plaque.
Yeah, I mean, just the plaque was generic, and it's generic for a for an everybody.
It's award. One that you'll just hang on your wall and say, "Hey, exactly. I placed in this," which is cool. But the pig's head is the thing that I would, you know, if I was a player, I'd put back there.
Yeah, right next to your infection shirt.
Right next to my infection.
And your Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah. Hey, I play that with games sometimes.
All right. Brian and I will be participating in the Invitational next year. We will be so good at H1Z1 by this time next year.
Prepare
a 1 year to get ready. Now, Brian, I got to tell you this, Brian. I did in fact play H1Z1 this week. Brian, tell everybody what my experience was during the event, because you were talking to me on Skype. I was pretty hyped about the game.
Yeah, so Nick is watching this and he's like, "Man, I just want to play some H1Z1 now." He was like, "I actually want to play."
Yeah, this seeing other people enjoying the game got me excited to play the game. So I played maybe 3 5-man BRs with a few members of our clan. Yeah, I know. I played the game 2 weeks in a row. I was kind of surprised. And in one of the games, we had 3 308s. We got all 3 of the airdrops.
Nice.
But then we got killed by the gas because whoever was driving kind of, I don't know what happened with that. And then we played a few other ones. They were fine. We crashed a few times joining it. The loading screen bug is still there and alive. Let me tell you that. They say they're fixing it every week. We played 3. We probably had to leave 2. So we were in 5 total games. But 2 of them we just had to leave because me or Falcon and myself had to leave. Because it was just we were stuck at the loading screen and everybody else was parachuting in. So that was interesting. Brian, did you play it all this week?
Yeah, I played earlier though. So you played, I think, the last couple days.
Yeah, I played. Right? What day was the Invitational? Saturday. I think I played Saturday night or Sunday night.
Yeah, I was playing before that because I didn't get it. I was played hockey and everything this weekend, so I didn't play. But I had a good time. But I've been doing BRs. I mean, BRs has been pretty much all I've been playing lately. I haven't even been logging into survival. So, but the times that we do the BRs, it's been a blast. I mean, the 5-mans are great. I've been really enjoying those. Once they get this ghost cam or, you know, the perspective cam going, it's going to make it to where people are going to be, okay, I'm willing to wait until this person dies and kind of keep that group going. I think that'll be really good, especially for streamers.
Do you think we're going to see that in game?
Yes, they said they will, but it's going to be a player perspective cam.
What do you think ETA on that is? I mean, realistically, remember,
I think it's probably a month or two
now,
out.
Let's remember now. Daybreak is
spectator mode.
Daybreak has got to move. If that's still the case, while I was under the assumption once they get back from the Invitational, they're packing up house and moving to their new offices. So this week, we didn't have a single update this week. The servers went down for an update at one point, but I don't know if they released
anything. Well, that was a maintenance. So that was the general maintenance.
Okay.
And then something happened during the general maintenance, and so the servers didn't initially start right away.
Okay.
So they fixed that, and then they came up. But that no actual patches in-game. There weren't any downloads in Steam. That was not a game update. That was just general maintenance that they were doing for the week.
Okay. So that's – so I guess – so yeah, no, then there were not – there were no things this week. There were no updates.
Yeah.
So now – but we did have a few tweets. We had a picture or a screenshot of – was it the new AK or the new AR animation? Or some polishing?
Yeah,
not
so,
even new.
So that's something that they've been working on just because there have been complaints of how that works. And so whenever we get a tweet of, hey, we're working on this, I always try to grab the screenshot and show. But they're working on replacing the magazine, for doing reloads and things like that, and then just polishing how the movement is. Because the AR-15, personally, that's my favorite gun in BRs. So I love it when they're tweaking that, because right now, as I told you, when my guy runs, his arm is under his armpit.
Yeah.
Just, he runs really funny and it's not quite right. So it'll be nice when they fix this, because it just, mine doesn't look correct at all.
Yeah. So that was the AR, I guess, I think they said they're smoothing it out. Animation polishing was the word that they used for that. And now you actually add and remove the magazine now when this is actually in the game. So
it does it correctly. Cause I know that
Brian, immersion. I mean, this is perfect for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to wear, like, for me, the guy running with his gun going through his side, for me, takes me out of the moment.
Oh, you're like, damn it. This is ridiculous. How can I play in these environments?
Because the type of player I am, like when I'm running around and have this perspective, like I'm seeing this and like it puts my mind there.
You need blinders like a horse.
I need the thing that they have. Yeah, I need it to where like nothing else is in my perspective and like I'm into the game. Or those glasses, like the glasses that you put over the Oculus Rift.
Oh yeah, yeah. I could see you. Perfect with you with an Oculus Rift.
Yeah, I'm so like I feel like I'm there.
that would be very scary.
Gadlaw's saying Brian needs a story about how that gun got there. That's true. I want the backstory. Why do we have these guns? Why are there certain guns here? These are the things I think about.
What is air? Can you explain to me why that is in the game? I'm just just trying to figure out what's going on there. Now, we've been pretty positive for the whole show. And I want to keep that going, but let's talk realistic here, Brian. Realistic. Let's talk reality here.
Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real, bro. Speculation is some of the stuff that people enjoy the most, Brian. Let's speculate. There were 130,000+ people watching this event on Twitch, plus however many people. By the way, packed audience for this. There was a lot of people in the crowd. You could hear it when stuff was going on in the background. You could hear a lot of oohs and ahs. So. Yeah. Let's say 135,000 people watch this event, 140.
Yeah.
What is this doing for H1Z1? Is this the boost that Daybreak Game Company needed to get H1Z1 back in the limelight? I mean, the game was on sale. Did people watch Twitch gone and go, oh yeah, I forgot about that game. Let's play that this week.
I don't know if it was a huge boost. I would say that it was a decent boost. Now, one thing they did as well is they put the game on sale. I think, 25% off or something?
Yeah.
During the week after. And so, or however many days, or I think a day before and a couple days after. So that definitely would have encouraged some people that maybe were watching this, that are big people, big into watching Twitch, maybe that haven't really played this game or watched streams on this game, that will bring some of those people in. But I think this is a temporary boost. This will be that kind of like post wipe feeling. I don't know if it brought in a ton of new players. I don't think it did personally.
So that's kind of,
I think
of
this
fear.
Is more of, I think this is more of making the game legitimate to the streamers, because they know, all right, well, next year I'm going to be participating in this. This is a game that I don't just put down long term.
And that's my fear, is that this really, I mean, this game needs a boost. This game needs a boost, right? This game needs to have 40,000 people playing it every day. 40,000 should not be its all-time high.
Now, do we want to go into our stats?
Do you want to give me a minute? Because I didn't think we were going into that yet, but I can.
No, we can't. I wasn't sure, because that's kind of what we're talking
now that's,
about.
I was just kind of speculating before. Now, you know, honestly, I feel it was good for H1Z1. Like, I feel like everybody's going to construe this as, oh, you're so negative, you hate the game. This was good for H1Z1, Brian. I don't think anybody can argue that. But was it really, like, we keep talking about some massive event, some working of God that has to happen to bring people back to this game and playing it and enjoying it and constantly have a huge follower base playing.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think
this was it. I mean,
I don't think this is going to be what brings back those survival players, first of all. This pretty much catered to BR people. And I think the people that were watching this are people that already own the game.
Exactly.
So I don't think we're going to necessarily see a spike in purchases. I think purchases are going to be consistent how they were going up, maybe a slight increase because of the discount. But I think that a lot of these people that are watching this were people that already play this game. Maybe you'll get people that were like, oh, you know, they haven't played it in a week or two, that come back and say, all right, you know, just like you hadn't played for a little while, you were encouraged to come back. And it's like, oh, you know, this pumped me up to play again.
Exactly. So pumped me up to play. And let's get right into stats now. Now, these stats, while some people may have thought, wow, was there like 30,000 people playing this game? Was that the 7-day peak? It was not. The 7-day peak was 20,998. Our 24-hour peak is 17,528. And then our current players are 13,356. That 24-hour peak is up a lot from normal. That normal sits 13, 14, maybe 15. The 7-day is only up 1,000. And the current players is up about 2,000 from where it was last week.
So
the 7-day peak was good. And the 24-hour peak was good too. 17,000 people on a Tuesday is much more than a Daybreak has had in the past, without a doubt.
Okay, so that's the thing, is this was happening on a Saturday, which is one of the peaks for this game. Yeah. So you're going to have people not necessarily playing. They're going to be watching these streams. And so your Saturday is going to be lower than average.
But the peak came on Sunday. That it's 20,000.
But if you look,
Sunday.
A Saturday after the stream was over,
there's a huge peak.
It did jump up to almost about 20,000, exactly. Over 20,000, and then of course on Sunday, then it went to about 21,000. So that was definitely, you know, they, and H1Z1 in chat actually made a comment that I agree with, that big incremental updates is what's going to bring survival back.
Which we've been waiting on. We've been waiting on for a very long time. I've been waiting for the thing, the Reddit post that I read of all the updates and go, okay, let's log into H1Z1. And honestly, Brian, and I think you and a lot of other people feel the same way, there hasn't been that update. When was the last time you saw an update and you're like, wow, I got to go check this out in game? The only reason we check stuff out in game is because we have to for the show every week.
Well, I mean, I log in, but I don't go in to see the hat. You know, like, I'm not logging in to go see that new skin. Skins to me, it isn't really, that doesn't drive me in this game. It's the gameplay. It's the interactions with people, and they've really got to get the interactions in survival to be a positive
it's
one.
The interaction with my friends, or, you know, my friends, my clan members. That's what gets me playing H1Z1.
So if they can get that back, and give clan members a reason to log in and play together, that's what's going to be.
Now, we're getting teased in chat by H1Z1 that there's going to be a post tomorrow. So I guess we'll cover that next week on the show.
Why can't you guys post these things right before the show?
It's ridiculous. So we'll expect the post tomorrow.
Do you want to talk a little bit about survival? I think it looks like we're going to have plenty of time to talk about it because in the show notes, time permitting, I have some things because this is BRs. Like I've been playing them because, all right, you know, they're fun, but I can't sit there and play BRs all day.
No, and neither can
personally,
I.
Personally, it'll drive me insane after a period of time. I'm not like Grimms to where I can play for 12 hours straight BRs. I'll be pulling my hair out by the end of the night. But I wanted to kind of highlight, and there was a post on Reddit about some cosmetic features, quality of life features that someone would like to see. And these are some things that, you know, we've talked about, different body styles, things like that. But mm-hmm. I figured this would be kind of fun to cover in this. So we've talked about, you know, why aren't there any fat zombies? Why aren't there any, you know, muscular or even players? Like they're all the same body type. And so this person put in a suggestion, that, you know, why don't we see an emaciated body style, a fat guy, a gym rat, a heavily tattooed biker style, maybe person. Those would be fun things to see in game. Of course, that's going to be them having to create new models, which I don't know how easy that is right now, you know, with the current engine and everything. These guys have to do all that by hand. They're not taking submitted content at the time, you know, currently. So this is all stuff that they would have to do and then play test. But I think when this game is coming out of alpha, coming out of beta, you know, this is something you're going to want to see. If everybody likes to tease me about this immersion, but not having everyone look the same for me is a huge part of immersion.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of models make the game different, right? I mean, right now it's blue skies or rain and every character looks the same. That rhymed. Yeah. I didn't mean it to rhyme. and the guns. I mean,
and
what?
It's Judd who does, you know, animation and he does modeling and, you know, game development some. So for him, that, you know, he's confirming in chat, you know, making models takes a bit of time.
Oh, of course.
So I mean, it's not like I'm saying I want to see all of these next week, but I think long term, I think that that's going to be a very important. And I don't know if that's something they're going to want to wait till the new engine. Maybe they'll have some new tools available to them to where it's not quite so much work. Now, but, you know, that'd be something I'd like to see.
Now, H1Z1 in chat is saying that the male zombie is getting a new revamp too. So that's currently in the works by, some, you know, graphics people there, which, yeah. Didn't we see, I think we saw screenshots maybe a few weeks ago of something like that. So,
yeah, there was some new, the screamer. I mean, we saw some of the newer styles that they're coming out with, and I don't know if that's what they're referring to.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, is it important? Yes, but I think I'd still rather have core game features. I don't like, that's not going to bring me back to survival to be perfectly honest with you.
But there's some people that's going to bring back your role-playing community, I think. Having,
I guess,
more variation. Because if you look at the role-playing community, which will be a decent-sized portion of this community in the end, mm-hmm. They are really looking at having that individual character that they can create that's different. And when they go do things, they don't like the repetition of seeing the same thing over and over again. They want it to... You know, they take my immersion and they take it to the next level. So in H1Z1 in a chat saying they haven't shown the new male zombie model yet. So the one that's in there now is based off of the original model. So they're going to be putting out a new zombie model that's going to be totally different. So we'll have to look forward to that.
And Adam is also saying in chat that once the male and female zombies are in, that players will be able to turn into zombies. So I guess that's the end goal with that, making it possible for...
Right now, players do turn into zombies, correct? So if you die...
Yeah, but after you're dead.
But you don't see that.
No.
Like, if someone goes and watches your loot bag, they will see a zombie pop up and they kill it and then there's your loot.
But players physically turn, like getting attacked, getting killed by a zombie, you would physically turn into a zombie instantly.
That would be a fun extra player, you know, there would be a limited amount of control, I would assume. But that would be a fun thing of now you have somewhat smart zombies coming after you. I think that you maybe not want that on every server type because you'll probably get a lot of griefing.
Griefing on video H1C1? Games? Oh, yeah. My God, no. Tell me such a thing doesn't exist.
Oh. Yeah. So, but and then on here, he's talking about some extra things like ammunition bandoliers, which would, you know, be one of those ammunition things that go across your chest.
Yep.
Maybe you could get one of those to hold a little bit more ammo or have an ammo slot. You know, who knows? There's enough bag space right now that that's not a huge thing, but maybe it would allow for grenade slots or something. You know, you could do something that if you pick this up, you then have a slot to where it's a quick access to your grenade to where you can assign a key letter to throw a grenade.
Which, by the way, we saw in the Invitational that second game, the last kill, somebody may have had a grenade there and couldn't use it because it's such a colossal pain in the ass to use grenades in this game. Any throwable. I mean,
that is one thing that we looked at, and I was thinking to myself, and I think I mentioned this to you after, and maybe in the after show, I was like, it could be that with that kind of awkward pause that we saw was them trying to figure out how they can equip a grenade.
It's bad. You might as well just alt tab for like 3 or 4 seconds. I mean,
almost have to drop. Like if you're carrying a shotgun, a 308, and an AR, you're going to have to drop one of those because you can't fit them in your bag at that point. And then, you know, then you're having to equip that grenade. I think it would be cool to have a way that, and it not be a skin, but be something you're able to pick up in game that then gives you that option of having that throwable grenade slot.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like you are able to find an ammunition bandolier in game that you can put on, and then it allows you to have that grenade slot.
You get an extra slot in your care. Or maybe it's one of those, maybe it's one of the professions. Like maybe the mechanic has like an extra utility slot. Or something that gives them an advantage.
I think that that would be cool because you don't necessarily want to give everybody that grenade slot. I mean, they do have those extra slots that you could put your binoculars in and things like that, but you can't put a grenade there. I don't know that would be a way to put it in the game and have it be an advantage if people can find that piece of equipment.
Yeah. So, I guess. The grenades right now, I got a kill in Battle Royale with a grenade. I was going to talk about this. I forgot. I was up on a hill in one of our 5-man BRs, and there was a, it was like, I was on top of the hill, then the road plateaued, and then there was another valley. And I just lobbed a grenade at a vehicle that was over there, and I got a kill.
Nice.
So, but it was like
I don't think grenades are a huge part of the game, and I think that's why, because it is such a pain.
I had to drop my pistol. I said, cover me, I'm going to get my grenade. I dropped my pistol on the ground, I threw the grenade, I threw two grenades, then I was out of grenades, and then I picked up my pistol and went and collected my loot. But if I was alone, probably wouldn't have thrown a grenade, because I wouldn't have had any cover. I was like, okay, you know, watch down there, I'm gonna quit my grenades.
So I think that they could really bring it into people using it on a regular basis, like you actually having the fear of someone's going to throw a Molotov at you or that a grenade's going to be thrown at you, that would bring that as a real fear. Right now, assuming that people aren't going to bother.
There were a fair amount of them in the Invitational. There was one grenade. Somebody got killed by a grenade in the second game.
Yeah, I think it was Curvy Llama that got killed by a grenade.
Okay, so maybe she got killed in the second game. But in the first game, somebody got lit on fire by a Mazel Tov, right? A Mazel Tov there, Brian. And actually got hit by two. And then, ended up dying. So there was maybe one or two that were used in the Invitational. But they're almost counterintuitive to use. Because, you lose a weapon, right? Like the AR is great, but you need to have a shotgun for close encounters. And if you need to reload or something, you switch to your pistol.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I always have three guns on me in a BR.
Of course.
Like, I have these set three guns that I get, and I'll pick up throwables, but I very rarely equip them. Yeah. I just find them such a pain to use, I don't do it.
I kind of forced myself on Saturday when I played to not pick up a pistol so that I could, pick up a grenade and use that instead of using, which honestly, I never really use the pistol anyway. I would pick up an AR and a shotgun. I have no use for a Magnum. I'm not going to get a kill with that. Unless it's my only gun, of course. So I always
get one shot off of it with it, and then I die by their, like, whatever, rapid fire of an AR or something. So I've given up on that handgun.
Well, I mean, the Magnum's good, but it's like, it's good in a pistol v pistol situation.
Yeah. I mean, but that's very rare in a BR that, unless it's the first couple minutes, that's the it's going to be
exactly.
pistol versus
like,
pistol.
Right. Like there'll be times where I won't find an AR or a shotgun originally. And I'd rather have a 308 or I'd rather have a Magnum than the regular pistol. Cause the Magnum does, you can get like two shots and be killed with the Magnum or three shots and be killed with the Magnum. Yeah. So if you can sneak up on somebody,
it is a powerful one, but it's tough to get the consistent three shots in a row.
Exactly.
So now, some other things, and I think I saw this in some early, and I don't know if it was fan art or this was concept art by Daybreak and Play. I don't really remember, but like a black leather trench coat.
Okay.
I think I saw somewhere that on there, a black leather jacket, which there is kind of a biker's jacket. That's the sleeveless, you know, that's in there, but, you know, these are just some things. And then he put in here, I remember Fancy the Bard t-shirt. So that's an inside gaming joke. But, you know, I think that having not shirts, what he's asking for is more of bulky jackets and things that will change the outline of your character more.
Well, yeah, because the biggest problem is
not a change of a current skin.
Everybody looks the same. I mean, yeah. Come on. You can sometimes get confused if that's one of your teammates or somebody else because everybody looks exactly the same.
Now on here, so for face slots, so one thing that you would think of is like a hockey mask, like not what I think of as a hockey mask, but like the old Jason, the old style goalie mask that covers your face. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of hockey mask that people think of. The leather face mask, a Nixon mask. You know, we could have something similar to some of these other games. Steampunk aviator goggles. I think those are some things that are really different that aren't like sunglasses and they aren't those goggles that cover your eyes.
Yeah.
So on here, he talks about facial hair. That's one thing we haven't seen.
Okay.
You know, having mustaches, beards. I mean, I don't know if that makes any difference, but that would change that character model to look different.
Like, I guess, but like you're not going to have a big curly mustache. Like
they're talking about, like the Fu Manchu. They want handle. I mean, I don't know. If you're getting into those things that make players look different without having to redo the whole model of the character.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this is a zombie apocalypse. Nobody's going to be grooming their hair.
But why are they running around in like X-ray pants and?
Because those would be left over, and you would loot. But you would loot a store and get those. Like
if I'm in a zombie apocalypse, I'm not going to pick up the Hunter Orange hat.
Yeah, but maybe that was all that was left at the Super Walmart, Brian. I mean, what are you going to do? But like with the face, like do you really want to be running around like, oh, okay, look at me, I've got a big curly mustache.
You know, we don't have razors anymore, right? Like.
Yeah, so your hair's not going to be groomed. Brian, if you just let your beard grow, you're not going to have you're not going to have that. You're not going to have that at all.
Some people, we'll see.
Brian, you're going to let your mustache grow out, and all of a sudden you're going to have a curly handlebar mustache? But come on. That's not how it works.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. That's not right. Yeah, Brian, immersion.
The immersion.
Yeah, the immersion, Brian. A zombie apocalypse. You're not going to have groomed facial hair.
Yeah, well.
No, Judd, it's not a game. It's real life. And I want no facial. I'm fine with facial.
Chris Orange says, "Yeah, I would." So maybe some people would.
I don't have a problem with facial hair, but I have a problem when like people are going to be walking around with like a top hat and like a curly mustache and going, "Oh, hello, sir. Good day. Can I sell?" Like, it's like that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you want to be a little scruffed up, like, yeah, you should be. And like Brian right now, like that would be the realistic.
That's what I'm saying. It starts here, and then depending on how far out like this is from day, you know, ground zero of this event, like have some people that are really like scruffy. That's what I want to see. Gadlaw says he wants a top hat. I understand like top hats, but I think that having everybody being within one day of shaving for me is unrealistic.
Of course, one day of shaving. But Brian, did you shave one day ago?
I can't even handle that.
I mean, do you want a top hat, a cane, a monocle, and you're just going to be walking around a zombie? No,
people run around in pig heads. Come on.
I don't know. Facial hair is fine, but it needs to be realistic. Having a mustache is not unrealistic, but having a properly groomed mustache and beard is
like
not
the actual
realistic.
Handlebar that's totally twisted.
Yes, exactly. And... like that is unrealistic. No, you're not going to sit there. You're not going to spend 45 minutes sitting there and grooming your mustache. It's ridiculous. You get people in chat are insane.
Well, what are you supposed to do in your base all day? Like you build as a base and you're sitting in there.
Yeah, what about a fedora, Brian? PPR is bringing up the fedora. I mean, might as well. I mean, where does it stop?
I
mean, who cares?
I don't run a fedora.
Yeah, of course you are.
Okay, so
what a useless conversation that was.
Facial hair. Okay, but and then hairstyles. Just simple, different hairstyles.
Yes, hairstyles. Yes, like
that's more realistic.
Haircuts.
Just these are things that they could quickly add that go over the current model that will give people that different look. Of course, people wearing hats and helmets, it won't make any difference.
Stilts and clown shoes.
Yeah, can we have a salon that we can pay an extra fee to have our character go to a salon?
Don't give Daybreak any ideas about microtransactions, all right? We don't need any of that. We don't need any of that in the game.
Long, curly, nice.
Hey, come on down to Klager's Salon. We're going to give you a haircut. Groom your mustache. I mean, yeah, you really want role players, Brian. That's all you need. I mean, the whole game is just going to be full. You won't be able to kill anybody. No, sir, please don't kill me. I'll trade you my top hat for my life.
But see, that's some of the fun stuff that we used to see a lot. People posting those videos of people
doing
this.
I think the best
one
was like the Shaq salesman. Where he was like running around and like...
there's this Shaq here.
Yeah, he was like the Shaq's over by the farm on over by Pleasant Valley. He was just selling the Shaq.
And then the guy he's talking to is not responding whatsoever.
Yeah, and he's just talking to him. That we gotta pull that out of the
we'll
the vault
for one of these times.
Yeah, that'll be next week.
So okay, and then different hands. So what they put in here, like spike leather gloves, there are those fingerless gloves that are already in there.
Yep.
One person, now he suggested a metal prosthetic hand or, you know, that realistically you would see.
Yeah, but you're not going to see that unless you're on top of somebody. Like, I thought we were talking about things that would make people look different. A metal prosthetic hand.
I mean, you could have it to where it treats it, you know, it just looks different.
I mean, like if you had a hook, like that would be cool. Like you could hook people with your hand.
You can hook zombies. It's like a weapon, an extra weapon.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, they're at some point.
It looks like a pirate too, and they have a hook.
Yeah, I mean, so, but it's, come on. At some point, like, you're not going to notice a prosthetic hand. You're not going to notice a prosthetic leg. Like, you're not going to notice that stuff.
But okay.
That's useless. That is content that's 3 years down the line. That is not useful content in the game today. Realistically, like, are you going to be like, oh, this guy's got a prosthetic hand from...
These are all end game things. Like, Ross Racer's bringing up that they're doing the eye patch already, right?
Yeah.
There's an eye patch, so he's saying, oh, now we need a peg leg and a captain's hat. And then if I could have a parrot on my shoulder, we're set.
We need another H1Z1 wedding. And that worked out really well. Now, this is very far...
So these are all things that I'm just saying. This is going to be the kind of stuff that people will be interested in if they can.
This is once the game is released. This is after it's done with beta and its official release. This is like cool stuff. But I don't want that in the next year.
Some of this may need to be on the new engine. You know, it may be a lot easier just to start rolling out the content then. Now he brings up here having more vehicles because that's one thing they are releasing the ATV.
Yeah, you want to. Let's jump
that really quick.
Yeah, so we showed the ATV. It was a Vine or something last week that somebody posted inside of Daybreak of the ATV showing the model and it driving around.
There was no skin on it.
Now, here is a skinned version of the ATV with two players. So this is really cool. You drive-by shootings with this ATV, this thing has got to be fast.
Yeah, like, it's going to be so hard to shoot off the back of that thing.
But it's got to be fast, because if it's not fast, it's going to be useless. You're just going to get killed every time. You have no cover at all inside this thing.
Pretty much just aim at the ATV and you'll kill him.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's cool. I mean, driving, like, that's a quick way to carry two people around where you don't need to bring a car. And it's much smaller than a car. I would imagine it's going to take less gas.
Ross Racer's asking, you wonder if someone will be able to sit on the front.
No. You don't sit on the front of an ATV.
But yeah.
How are you going to see? You're going to be... who's driving?
That's true. Maybe the person can duck.
Okay, yeah. All right. No. Nobody will be on the front. But that's it's a quick two-man vehicle. Like, this is great to go get, like I said, backpacks at the fire station.
It would be funny if they try to fit five people on this thing.
Yeah. Hey, we need this on a five-man BR.
Like those Keystone Cops type of vehicles. You got people standing on the side.
You need that little, motorcycle, sidecar for the ATVs. You can cruise around Pleasant Valley and pick up all your friends. This is a good task vehicle. Like, hey, we need backpacks, we need food, we need fuel. This is the vehicle you're going to take. You're not going to waste your car that will fit, your pickup truck that'll fit five people.
Now, this person suggested having very specific vehicles. Like, he wanted a Ford Falcon.
Jesus.
So he's like, I want this very specific vehicle. I'm not saying to make a specific vehicles, but maybe different types of vehicles. So
can I get I want maybe like a 2008 VW Jetta TDI diesel. The diesel part is really important to me. It needs to be gray. Come on.
Now,
the Ford Falcon, why would you want that?
Maybe having one of those vehicles that they haul money from bank to bank in.
Like the Brinks trucks?
Which is very similar to a police SWAT team type of vehicle.
Yeah, which we did see mock-ups of the Pleasant Valley SWAT or something like that. We saw that a little while ago. So that'll be in there now.
So, I'm thinking that having that could be, one would be a bank security truck. For hauling money. With that same one, you could almost just reskin it to be the SWAT vehicle.
Or just have one.
Yeah, but say you put different skins on it.
Yeah.
And then a person saying an ice cream truck, which also could be a delivery truck. You could put different skins on that type of one.
Okay.
They're saying an actual, semi truck, which, as long as it doesn't have a load on the back.
No. Are you kidding me? What is this, Euro Truck Simulator? Why would you want a semi-truck? Jesus. What is wrong with these people? A semi-truck?
They're saying with a day cab so that you can use it as a portable.
Oh, my God. Somebody's got way... I don't mean to offend anybody, but you've got way too much time on your hands. There are issues... Daybreak, there are issues in H1Z1 right now that make the game unplayable. And we are worrying about having. We need.
It's Judd saying you could have a little side mission where you're delivering packages.
Yeah, is this a GTA heist? FedEx,
and we're going to deliver packages, and you can make some extra little.
Yeah. You know what? Here, Ross Racer's got it great. You have an 18-wheeler, you put all your cars on it, and you just drive around like it's 18 Wheels of Steel American Long Haul. That's all you're going to do. And this is now a truck simulator game.
But if you look at Mad Max, they're driving around ridiculously in huge semis.
Yeah, but this is a zombie survival game, Brian. Not, I got to keep log of my hours while I'm driving so I can bring it back to my boss so I can get my proper fuel reimbursement. Zombie survival. You're gonna be dead. Now,
and then one thing they suggest is a tow truck, so you can pull another vehicle, which I guess you could haul a vehicle back to your base. So if you drove around, you wouldn't have to have the extra materials to get that vehicle running. You could hook up to that vehicle and bring it back to your base as one person.
What about an RV? Anybody bring up an RV?
There's no RV, but if you look at the original, an RV is a huge part of this type of storyline. I think an RV would be a really good, I think you could use it to be like a portable base, something that you take. And you can't lose. The only thing is, you wouldn't want to lose it.
Yeah, a tow truck. What else could you have? You need one of the. What's the car where they put the casket in?
A hearse?
Yeah, hearse. Yeah, I definitely need a hearse, without a doubt.
But a hearse would be fun because, imagine if there was the casket in the back and there's a zombie in there and you could drive around and it's banging on the back.
That's really. When I see that.
An ambulance is something definitely in game that if they do that hospital. An ambulance would make sense in this game.
Yes, an ambulance would make sense. A lot of this other... A deuce and a half? Yeah, why not just have military-grade tanks? Apache helicopters, B-15 bombers, stealth planes. Why stop there? Why RC drones, rockets. Why not make a Kerbal Space Program at the same time? Who cares?
Supply the mood so I can survive the apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? You're gonna have a big NASA base. You're gonna go find water on Mars. You're gonna go. No, none of this stuff is any use in the game at all. The armored vehicle is useful.
But you're gonna want to have things that are different, though.
Yes, stuff that's different.
I want to have it to where things look different.
What about a bike? How about that? Can we go back to the basics? What about a bicycle instead of a bicycle instead of a freaking 18 wheeler? I mean, come on. Something, a skateboard, a ribstick, a Heelys, like those, the shoes where you can glide around town.
Yeah, that would be, so I could, it increases my speed by like 10%.
Yeah. Jeez. Real issues. Yeah. Let's cover the game. I didn't even look at that. I should have looked at that link before. I would have deleted it.
I know. Now, well, this is put in here. It's like recipes for cookies, multivitamins.
Stop. Nope, we're
not yet.
No.
Anyways, that was someone's perspective. I just wanted to get your point of view.
You knew my point of view, and you brought it up anyway. unbelievable.
So here's one that maybe...
Pogo sticks, too. I'm going to finish with that. We need pogo sticks.
So here, if you look at the first link that I had in there, this is someone that pretty much took over a building inside of H1Z1.
Yeah, this is cool.
I don't know if you want to play a little bit of the video. It's pretty long of him just running around there, but you could play maybe.
Why don't you narrate? Because this is your video here.
You're gonna show me the feedback.
I'm playing it right now. So there you go.
All right. So this is a player that has taken. I think this is probably in PV or something, but he's taken one of those small shops that are emptied out, and he has put shacks in there that block off the front entryway, and he's put some to block off the back entryway. And then he's lit it up in there, put some buildings, pretty much made it so that without someone going in and destroying those doors, he has sole access to this building. So
got some candles.
He's got candles to light it up. But I wanted to get kind of people's perspective on this thought of should people be able to take over a building like this and control it and make it theirs.
This kind of feels like cheating to me a little bit. Not in the aspect like this guy's hacking, but like, no, not really. To be perfectly honest with you, no. Like, I don't think you should be able to take over those buildings. I really don't.
Because
that's like the people that take over the car spawns.
You'll have people take them over and then they won't play for 3 weeks.
Exactly. And now none of the buildings are, you're going to go into Pleasant Valley and every single building is going to be blocked. No, I really don't think that's useful. I mean, that's like the people that block the car spawns. And that's not useful either.
So based on that, I wanted to give you my perspective that I personally think they should almost take out bases completely.
I'm going to go get a glass of water. I'll be back in a few minutes. Take it away.
So what I think they should do is like give you the option of bomb shelters or underground bunkers. And I think we've talked about this a long time ago. Because bases right now, like people use them to grief and just place them everywhere. They're very rarely used for legitimate, people hanging out in them anymore. I think that they should almost take them out and then have some, and maybe even have a sandbox instanced version of an underground bomb shelter that your group, people that you allow access to, can access. But it's not one that people can blow up. So you can maybe store things and have them. Maybe it's a very limited amount of space. But I'm Grant Mann saying they can't go underground for technical reasons. But that's kind of what I would rather see rather than these on top, above ground bases. Because a lot of times that people are using those to cover things up. So
Gadlaw just made a really cool thing, a server game set that has no bases. That would be cool. Like, honestly, bases are like maybe don't allow bases, but allow some type of structure. Shacks. What are the shacks are the biggest thing before bases, right? Shelter. It's shack shelter.
It's the shelter, but so maybe max would be a shelter.
Yes, a shelter, exactly. Where you could at least store your loot, which would be at that point just be food and ammo, because there'd be nothing. Building.
It's not the little shack that you saw that guy having in that building.
No.
It's the next size up above that. On the numerous stilts.
So that would be cool. You would literally just store it. I mean, no raiding.
bases, people aren't really using them at the moment, and the whole base raiding thing has become so toxic that I think it's just driving people away. And a shack is something very easy to control as far as being able to tell whether someone's hacking into it or not hacking into it. It's a closed box.
Yeah. So
it's shack, small shack, and then shack.
Yeah, the shack is the biggest structure.
So I personally think that that would be almost a way to get people, you know, saving things up again.
And no rating on those either. Like, you would not be able to blow up the door.
Yeah, I don't think they should, because I think that the whole rating thing has done nothing but drive players away currently. Yeah. So that's kind of my perspective of it. You could accomplish the same thing with making it so that, you know, maybe not using, as one of the developers said, you can't make something that goes underground with their current engine. But make it to where they can't make huge bases that are being placed, you know, on top of other buildings or over places that are blocking you access to things.
Shelters and bases used to be fine when clans would play all day, every day.
But there's no way to protect them. I mean,
no, there really isn't. I mean, like, you know, a few biofuel, and some IDEs and your front door is gone. And even with maximum security. I mean, we had gates to get to one of our rooms, and like, every time we'd log in, everything would be gone. All of our gates and all of our doors would be blown up.
My idea with the bomb shelters was that you only get one, right? Or you could have one maybe for your clan, that's a bigger one. I'm thinking of a way to limit the number. So how about if you had a limited number of shacks or you know, basic shacks, whatever, that you can actually place in game? Like, you can't place 30 shacks in game.
Yeah.
I just, you could go and destroy a shack if you want to place another one, but I think that it's just the whole people placing things has been just to block off access to things. It's not even to use anymore.
Exactly. I don't necessarily think I like the underground idea, but I like the idea of not having these big shelters that, for all intents and purposes, nobody's using. There's no benefit of having a big shelter. The reason your shelter is big is so that A, you can either pull cars in there, or B, because you have a bunch of gates before people can actually get to your doors and blow them up.
See, and if they got rid of those bases, like, that would take away car hoarding. It would make it so cars are once again on the map, because you wouldn't have a place to pull them in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then if you limited the number of shacks or things that you can place, like, they wouldn't be able to surround a place unless they had a large group of people working together to do this, which I guess if you get 10 people that are willing to use their shack to make a garage,
mm-hmm.
10, 15 people, you know, maybe you could block off an area that would do it. But I mean, I just, right now, I think that the whole base situation has just become pretty useless.
Yeah, I would agree. Because it's not modular and every base looks the same. And, you know, once you're in a base, there's nothing to do. Like,
and now Killcam's saying, of course, one noclip hacker can still ruin your day. And that's where I was thinking with those shacks. Like, if someone comes in without blowing the door down, like, it's just like a sealed container. You know that they didn't get in there properly.
No, there is no blowing the door down. I mean, there would be no rating.
If you take away blowing the door down, if they didn't come into that room by entering the code and going in the gate, they are not supposed to be in that room, and there's nothing they can do.
There you go. You heard it first. Ryan, that was a little bit out there in left field, but
I think that that's one of the steps to save survival in this game.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I guess. So,
I mean, it, a lot of people think that's really drastic.
Yeah, I would agree, but it makes sense.
I think that, you know, right now I run around and I just see bases everywhere, and it's like, okay, that one's empty. That one's empty. There's no one there. You know, if you want to get it to where the map feels bigger and people are more spread out, make those bases really small, and you know, they're not going to be all over littered, and people will be encouraged maybe to hide their bases more.
Yeah. Well, so, all right. Well, wasn't expecting that, but okay. Yeah. I like that. That's something I would play on a server that didn't have that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people would, you know, I always talk about time sinks. So this is, I now have brought up that word. I don't know how many shows in a row. But right now, I think they were thinking of bases as a time sink, or a reason for people to come gather resources and do something together. They're going to have to find something else, I think.
Yeah. Now,
you know, I don't make bases the reason that people are supposed to, because people get tired of it. That only lasts a couple days.
Yeah. Sebastian just tweeted something out, Brian. Some H1Z1 concept art that an intern did at Daybreak over the summer. Some of it is borderline NSFW because it's, you know, character models. So I'll show the safe stuff so we don't get flagged on YouTube. But there's just a few zombie models in here. Some like zombie wolf guy,
like the zombie with no lower chin.
Yeah. And then we've got this like butcher looking character, one with a ram head, and then one with the pig head. Some more butcher-ish people. Some mother with a child bursting out of her stomach. some pretty graphic stuff here. Some like acid guy that's bubbling, has burns and stuff all over him.
Okay, so one thing I brought up early on with this game, and a lot of people freaked out on me about this, but I said, why aren't there any zombie children? Right? Do you remember when I said that a long time ago?
Nope, I do not. But
so I brought up, I said, you know, I think they should put zombie kids. Of course, people are like, well, then you'll be shooting kids. Well, I mean,
It's a video game.
You know, that's kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, that's not politically correct or whatever. But, you know, maybe not like the one where the baby's crawling out of the mother's stomach.
That's a little
far.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, come on, like, you know. I don't want this to be a horror movie that I'm playing. Like, this isn't like
But maybe have different age ranges of what the zombies were, you know, who they were before they became a zombie.
Okay, now, Brian, I'm totally going a different direction here. Okay. They should do something really cool for Halloween with H1Z1. Like, they should make everything look like pumpkins. Like, they should do something, like, there should be something cool with Halloween coming up. I mean, it's a perfect game, right? Like, add a pumpkin into the game, and there'd just be pumpkins everywhere.
They're going to add like
jack-o'-lanterns
costumes or something.
No, just jack-o'-lanterns everywhere.
But do you think that they're going to add for Halloween like some sort of costume?
No, that is way too much work. There's no way there's enough time. There's no time for that. I don't want them to waste their time, but I want a jack-o'-lantern. Oh, we're going to have a Halloween event. I'm a genius. What can I say? That's all my inside knowledge that I get from
S Games and Chat says little demonic babies crawling around really fast toward you. I'm not saying take it that far. So H1Z1 Halloween event.
You heard it here from
breaking news.
Up.
Where's your sound when you need it?
Jeez, here it is. There you go. You saw it on the Infection Podcast first. Copyright.
So there will be some sort of a Halloween event. But this is a lot of concept art that I don't see that they're going to be using a lot of this in game. But it kind of takes it outside of the box, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You want to hear ideas that aren't repeats of something from DayZ, that aren't repeats from some other game. You know, these are things that are unique there's a zombie in a straitjacket. You know, it was a zombie or somebody that died because this happened. Maybe they were in some sort of insane asylum and, you know, they're now a zombie that's struggling in that. I mean, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that, that you can, but then for me, it's the backstory of where's the insane asylum.
You know? Yeah, there you go.
Then there's a whole bunch of more work they have to do.
Yeah. Brian, is it time for, tips of the week here?
Are we at that point?
I think we are.
So we covered current players. Yeah.
Yeah. We did current players.
Now I wanted to talk a little bit about gun consistentness because,
this
is just a quick thing. Summit was pretty salty as people were saying.
Oh yeah. Really salty.
And I agree with him in this. I don't feel like I know that, like if I take this shot, I don't feel like I know that that's going to hit on point. It just seems sometimes so random the way that the bullets go that even if you're really good, if you're shooting from a certain distance, there's going to be that inconsistency of where the bullet lands.
He was very salty. And he put that in his tweet. Like I said, he is more of an entertainer than he is. I don't want to call him a bad player because he's not. But like, his stream goal is to make his viewers laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, his goal is not to win every single BR. It's to, you know, die with some, you know, die in some crazy way and everybody laughs for 5 minutes. Like, that's what makes it fun and exciting. As a viewer, that's what you want to watch. He didn't do well at all at the Invitational. He only came top 10 the second game and he came in 10th place.
Yeah. But if you look, there are some players that have mastered like the AR.
Yeah.
So it's not totally random. I mean, for us, like there's some games that we can go play to where if you aim it at that spot, you know, it's going to hit that spot.
Exactly.
This game is not that. And for me, I think maybe the way that I have my shadows or something, like I don't see where the bullet's landing. So for me, it feels like, oh man, I'm not hitting.
It's because you edited your INI file, you hacker.
Yes, I edited my INI file, and now I don't see where the bullet lands.
Yep,
but my frames per second are doing good.
It's a feature.
So this is, you know, this is something that for him, probably because he's used to certain games, to where he knows if he puts the sights in this one spot, it's always going to hit. And it, you know, this doesn't do it. You almost have to play this enough, like Grimms and things like that, to where you know, all right, I have to take 5 shots, have them in this area, and I'm probably going
to
hit 3.
And how much of this was just some excuse to like say like, oh, this is why I didn't do good.
This is why I didn't win.
I mean, come on, like everybody does that. I'm guilty of it. I know, Brian, you must be guilty. Everybody is. I mean, you always come up with some kind of excuse.
The reason that I always miss my shots is because of the gun, right?
Yeah, exactly. The reason this podcast is great is because I'm here. that's just human nature. So,
he came back and said, but
I'm really excited to see the players' views. Maybe Manpons has his, and maybe we can get that for next week's show, and maybe he can point out some discrepancies in what he was seeing compared to what everybody else was seeing. So it's going to be interesting. We haven't seen any of it yet, but I saw a tweet right after the Invitational, somebody saying like, hey, I'm going to show this when I get back. This was not, but plus that third person camera, I'm not sure that necessarily captured everything as accurately as it.
Like, well, I think that sometimes the bullets look like they were landing somewhere else, even though they were hitting from the third person perspective. So we can't really count on that as a, you know, here's how accurate this gun is.
Mm-hmm.
That third person camera, because I think that it's showing like Summit. I think the commenters actually brought it up.
Yeah, they did.
They're like, Summit looks like he's shooting in the side of a mountain. What is going on with him?
So, Summit fans are watching, you've got a contact with Summit, tell him to, we need to get him on the show here. I want to hear his experience with that. That won't happen, but hey, you know, one can dream, right, Brian?
Hey, it's like coming into the pit, you know, coming on the show.
That was a great one there, Brian.
Thanks.
Let's say
all right. So, so tips of the week is where I take, that was my transition. So tips of the week is where I take a, you know, something that the newest player can use, some technique to be able to get the most out of the game. And then we have an advanced tip, which is maybe something that is technical or something that you won't have learned from playing similar first-person shooter games. So this is my tips of the week. So for our beginner tip, this is something that came to me just from doing BRs lately. But I want to encourage people to shred their hats early on. It used to be, you know, you would drop certain things and you'd skin your things in the BR starting area. But I've come to the point to where I encourage people to now to shred their hats, because almost every time currently, with how the loot drops are, you're going to find a helmet usually within the first house or two of landing. And the hat's not accomplishing anything as far as slots for, you know, picking up items or anything like that. It's purely cosmetic. So What I like to do is to shred my hat. So that way, when I do come to a helmet immediately, I am able to pick up that helmet and it auto-equips onto my character. When I don't take off my hat, I mean, you don't even have to shred the hat. You can just put it in your bag. But I've found that when I keep my hat on, I go to pick up that helmet. I have to place it in my bag, and then I have to swap it for my hat. So that is one way that maybe quickly, you know, especially if you're going to end up in a fist fight, if you have quick access to a helmet, that may protect you from getting punched in the head too many times and may make it to where you win that fist fight. So that is one quick thing that you can do is if you're starting new in the game and you're going into BRs to get going on this, you know, shred that hat and give it to where it's open as a slot initially. So for our advanced tip, this is actually one that was tweeted out by Brad Wilcox, and it's a way to unmute players. So we have gone over in a previous tips of the week how to mute players, how to lower the volume of players in game. They've added the option in the BR waiting area. You hit Control M, it'll mute everyone. But that's not an individual one. You know, that's something that you can mute and unmute as you see fit. If you turn down the volume of individual players, and Killcam is commenting that it's Great Matado on Twitter, so if you follow him. But what the directions for going in and removing those players that maybe you have adjusted the volume on or muted altogether is to go into your H1Z1 game directory, and in there you will see that user options file that we have talked about before. And then at the very bottom, you will see a category called voice volumes, and it should be in brackets. In that, you will see a list of player names or some sort of ID for that player. You can go and actually delete that whole line for that player. Then you'll have to save the file, reload your game, and now that player will no longer be muted, or maybe if you had their volume lowered, that will no longer be in effect. So that is a way to go in, because in game currently there is not a way to unmute players to make adjustments to the list of who's been muted and not in the game. You have to actually go into this useroptions.any file and remove those players from that list if you want to be able to hear them again. And in our show notes, we'll actually have a link to the original Daybreak post that someone had made. And what's funny about this is he had asked somebody to go into their knowledge base and create this, and they had a funny line at the end that they put in, and that's what he was commenting on. But I'm going to put the link in there and encourage you to go check that out. And that is my tips of the week.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Now, one thing I did have was kind of an update on, I think it was last week or the week before's tips of the week.
Okay.
Where I was talking about going in and adjusting some of those settings in your useroptions.ini file, since we're talking about that. And I'm just going to have that in the show notes. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. Killcam is making a comment that you may want to set that file to read only afterwards, because setting changes that you make in game will overwrite that file and erase some of those custom settings that you've placed. So if you're really dead set on having those settings stay exactly the same, you can put it to read only. Of course, if you go in and make changes inside of your settings inside of the game, for maybe for your graphics, those will not take effect when you restart the game. So, but this one is a lot of the actual settings that you can put. So like your pixel quality, your effects quality, texture quality, shadow quality. This goes over each one of those and what the possible settings are for them. So this is just a little extra thing that I wanted to add if people want to go in there and put them, these are things that maybe you can add or adjust inside of that file.
Yeah. Now we do, Brian, I know you take suggestions for tips of the week as well. So
yes.
You have a tip that you would like talked about on the show. If you found out something that only you know about and we haven't covered on Tips of the Week.
Because I come up with these things, you know, just out of my head.
Yes, instead of somewhere else.
So this is something where if you have one that you're like, oh, he hasn't covered this, you know, maybe something I don't even know.
Ugh, what a noob.
Yeah, I'm such a noob. So I would encourage you to, tweet it. Well, maybe not tweet
no,
it.
Just
go
on don't tweet
our
it.
Website and send and on the contact form. That way it can be a surprise for the show.
Yeah, and plus, I doubt you'll fit your entire tip in 140 characters. So, contact form or contact@infectionpodcast.com. We'll get you there. So, Ryan, wrapping up the show here, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm very, very happy that TwitchCon went well. I'm excited. It was a little rejuvenation for the game. I'm excited about the game again. I'll be playing more now, and I'm excited for the next Invitational. I'm excited to hear about what's going on with H1Z1.
And I'm sure that it'll be polished even more for the next one. So that'll be exciting to see, you know, how they change it. Because this was the first one. The bug should be out. You know, they know the way to do something or not to do something. So,
Brian, where can people find you online?
If you want to find me, of course, biotech.com is my blog. And on Google, if you want to go to google.com/+BrianAldridge, that'll take you right to my Google Plus page. And, of course, our website, it's infectionpodcast.com. And an excellent thing to do would be to select join our Steam group on the right-hand side of the page. And that will make it so that you can see where different people that play this game are, if they're online right now, or what games are they playing currently. And that's a great way to connect up with us. If you want to join into some of our group BRs, make sure you jump on there and send us a message.
Now, Brian, you do know Google Plus, that's not really a thing anymore. Nobody's using that, right?
I know, but I was one of the early Google Plus people, so I was like,
you're hanging on for dear life.
I was one of the people that helped make that thing. So,
oh, look at you, Mr. Show Off.
Well, you help make something. You want it to be successful. Like you don't want it to die. It's like, yeah, I helped make the Commodore.
That worked out really well for me. Yeah, I was a big guy in the Sega Dreamcast era. Yeah. We know how well that console turned out.
Yeah, when I helped make that Atari, man, that was there.
Alrighty. Guys, we are available wherever podcasts can be downloaded. I really encourage you to check out our H1Z1 2015 Invitational wrap-up show. We covered... It was raw motion right after the Invitational. There was no you know, few days to sit on it. So we pretty much gave our raw opinions right after the Invitational there, and that was positive. You know, we're not always negative. The Invitational was positive.
This is like an off show for you. It's like you've been happy the whole time. What's going on?
I was you know, everybody always gives me crap for that. It's unbelievable. I'm just gonna sit here and be happy go lucky. Oh, hey Nick, the servers aren't up. Oh, that's so great. I love this game. It's great. I mean, how do you guys want me to sit here and talk? It's unbelievable. All right. like I said, wherever podcasts can be downloaded, we're on Stitcher, iTunes, like pretty much anywhere else. Of course,
and
our website,
if we're not somewhere, of course, they can send us a message and let us know where they want us to be.
Yes, exactly. So we're Stitcher Radio. Check out our YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook. Actually, no, we don't even have a Facebook. That's not true.
Let's skip that.
Infectionpodcast.com is our website. Guys, thanks for joining us. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. Infectionpodcast.com is the website. We'll see you guys next week for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.